So I've been saying for a few years now that I think Ariel Helwani is the greatest interviewer of our generation. I think I even went as far as to say that he could end up becoming the Walter Cronkite of our generation, as far as, or the Barbara Walters, the guy that gets the interviews. He moves beyond sports and ends up getting the interviews with the big world leaders, presidents, that sort of thing, having the big historical interviews of our lifetime. And I think he's really capable of doing that. And look no further than this interview here. It's already making news on Twitter as I record this now. This interview aired maybe about an hour ago. Ariel Helwani did an interview. He had the man, the controversial CM Punk, on the MMA Hour, and Ariel did what he did best. And one of the things that makes him the greatest of our generation, in my humble opinion, is his ability to, like, you can trust Ariel, even though he'll go there and he'll ask those tough questions, those personal questions, those controversial questions. You can always trust that he's going to take good care of you, that he's not going to lead you astray, you know, as far as, you know, asking you or leading you to anything that could be career ending or anything like that. You know, he'll take good care of you, and he builds a good rapport with people. You know, people trust him. People like Ariel, and it's a good thing he did. Punk said that Punk talked a lot in this interview, a whole lot. So much so, I have pulled three separate clips that I want to cover for you here. But really, I'm just going to recommend you watch the whole entire interview. In fact, feel free to just shut mine off now. I put the link down in the description below and to the full interview as it sits right now. But I'm going to go ahead and cover a few of the highlights here and give my thoughts on them. He covered a lot with CM Punk here. This entire conversation was fascinating, really, from start to finish. And when I mean from start to finish, I literally mean the start. Here's CM Punk walking into the interview.
Welcome. Here we are.
I love it.
This is pretty fun.
Yeah,
some people
yeah.
didn't think it would actually happen, by the way.
Why?
They thought I was doing like an... There's my guy right there.
It's my guy.
Yeah. You and I both.
Just hold on to Brett.
Yeah. Comfort you throughout this.
A cameo from a Bret Hart wrestle buddy that Punk cuddled up to real tight. The first fascinating thing that they got into right off the bat was talking about Punk's return to the WWE. Now, this has been covered a little bit. It's been talked about a little bit, but who made the call? How did this happen? And we've heard that it came together on short notice, but how short notice? And did CM Punk and Triple H need to iron a few things out before the deal could be settled and Punk could make his return at the Survivor Series? And was it always supposed to be at the Survivor Series, or did they have something else in mind? A whole lot covered just in this short little clip. Check out this clip.
WWE is back in Chicago, Survivor Series, November 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You return. When does that ball start to roll?
So I got a call from Nick Khan, and he was just like, hey, we want to talk to you. And I was like, cool. Monday before I came back.
That's 5 days away from Survivor Series.
Yeah.
You get the call.
Yeah.
What was that call like?
I think the call was more of a, hey, we want to talk to you about coming back. You know, we'd love you for Royal Rumble, you know, and because they assumed that I probably had some sort of a non-compete or something like that and were kind of floored when I was like, no, man, I'm ready to go.
So from that phone call to a deal being struck, how long does it take?
I mean, every single minute of all those days, it really ramped up because it was like, hey, I want to talk to you about coming back. Okay, you know, this is how I feel. Oh, well, this is what how I feel. Okay, great. You know, I'd really love to talk to Triple H. And then when I spoke to him, that's when the ball really got rolling, you know, because it was a very I asked him if he wanted to talk on the phone and he said, no, I would actually rather kind of I would like to FaceTime you so I can see you. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, you know. And we just talked about a whole lot of stuff, and about, you know, stuff that was at one point serious to probably both of us that is like silly now. And we just kind of laughed, buried a hatchet. And then we started talking business.
Were you holding out hope with all those clues being dropped back in Chicago? You're a free man. Were you hoping to get that call? Were you not sitting around and being like, oh gosh, I hope they call me. But like, was there someone in the back of your mind saying like, this would be nice. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, the wrestling booker in my head was like, oh, you know, this is the sweet spot. This is the business. This is what you do, you know, but I wasn't desperate for, you know, like a job or anything like that. Which makes it sound like I'm not grateful for where I'm at right now, which is the exact opposite. Like it's been an absolute dream thus far. So
again, the deal maker extraordinaire, Nick Khan, the guy that makes all of the big deals for the WWE. He helped make the Cody deal. He made the Netflix deal. He made the Peacock Network deal. He is the man. He's behind the TV deals, the previous TV deals with Fox and USA. Nick Khan's the fucking man. He's an animal. He's a killer. And as Punk said somewhere along the way in the interview, I don't know if it made it into that clip or not, just for editing's sake, but Punk even said that he thought that Nick Khan was working on getting Punk back to the WWE right from the beginning. Because right when Punk left WWE, when he signed with the talent agency, guess who represented him, or worked for the same agency, I guess, at least, Nick Khan. So he felt like Nick was always kind of nudging him in that direction. But Nick got him in the door. Punk said in the interview that he had zero no-compete clause. He literally could have showed up on Monday Night Raw the very next night. In fact, he said that Punk said that Nick Khan had said that he wished he knew that earlier. But, you know, Survivor Series was absolutely perfect. As you heard Punk say, the booking mind in CM Punk, you know, the wrestling, what's going to make the most impact? What works for the wrestling business? What's going to, you know, because he's right. This is what we do in wrestling. These are those kind of moments. Like if you, taking himself outside of it and, you know, the negotiations and the contract and everything else, the little kid, the wrestling fan and CM Punk watching the TV knows goddamn well that he would want to see CM Punk return at Survivor Series in Chicago. If he wasn't CM Punk, he recognized that. In fact, he even told Nick Khan that, because it came down to the wire and Nick Khan's like, look, man, if it doesn't work out for Survivor Series, we can always make it work for the Rumble, which was the original idea by Nick Khan. And Punk was kind of dead set on that Chicago Survivor Series date. He's like, no, don't want to show my hand here and kind of make it easy for you to in the negotiation process, but I want to be at Chicago's the place to do it, Survivor Series. So they were able to make it happen. He had to have the talk with Triple H. And though Punk requested the conversation, Triple H requested it to be FaceTime. He wanted to see him face to face. And he said they hashed out everything, all the details. They talked about it all. He didn't get into the specifics, but anytime something, you know, Ariel would begin to talk about, you know, something between him or Triple H, Punk pretty much said flatly that it was all discussed in that conversation across the board, that everything is water under the bridge, in CM Punk's words, that he says that the relationship's good now, and in fact that Punk is maybe a little bit too passive. And that Triple H would like to see a little bit more of the old Punk out of Punk sometimes. And that he does very much feel like he's part of the team there. You know, a whole lot of dick sucking for the WWE. He talked about that time that he popped in backstage while he was under contract with AEW. He said it was actually Bayley. We heard that he met some people from WWE on the plane. That was kind of what was in the dirt sheets anyway, and that they invited him. But there were no specific names. It was Jason Jordan from Alpha Academy or whatever the fuck. I don't. Yeah. with Chad Gable. American Alpha. My apologies. I knew Alpha Academy wasn't right. That's with Otis. But Jason Jordan before his neck injury. You know, he was with him anyway. He was on the plane along with Liv Morgan, he name dropped, who very kindly helped Punk find his lost earbud. And then Bailey invited him out to the show. Like, hey, come on down and say hi. Nobody was really asked permission. Tony Khan wasn't asked permission. Vince, Triple H, none of them were asked permission. I don't know if Bailey buzzed Triple H ahead of time or whatnot, but Punk just kind of showed up, and he knew he was going to get kicked out, and he didn't take it personally. He did say that Tony Khan was pretty pissy about it. And I'm paraphrasing all this because I got to pick and choose. I can't just replay you the whole fucking show. But I do got another clip here that I did want to get on, kind of a mishmash of clips, and this involves AEW. Now, the first part of this is the more recent. Ariel Helwani asked Punk flat out, kind of, you know, quite frankly, just bluntly just asked him what happened with Jack Perry at in London. And Punk admitted that there is no NDA for that incident. The NDA that he does have and what he did not talk much about was the brawl out situation. The only thing he was able to kind of hint at in that was that it was nothing that he did. He didn't ask anybody to sign an NDA. So kind of hinting at the NDA was to cover AEW's asses, perhaps. But there was no NDA involved with the Jack Perry incident, and he freely spoke about it. At first, he was a little uncomfortable, but you could kind of see in Punk's head, he was kind of like, I don't know if this is really... And Ariel kind of like... Because Punk was like, I don't want to relitigate it, was the word he used. You know, hash it all back out, talk about it again. Listen, I don't want to get into all of it again. And Ariel, and this is why he's such a great interview, he didn't say it, you know, he didn't try to attack Punk with it, but he was like, well, you never really did talk about this publicly. You know, you might have talked about it before and hashed it all out, but this is, I'm asking because we as the public have not heard this from your side yet. And Punk, you could kind of see, kind of, okay, fuck it. Let's get into it. And he got into it. So here's what he had to say about Jack Perry and the London and the fight backstage there.
Jack Perry's on screen and he says, real glass, why don't you cry about it? Where are you when this is said?
I was in my locker room.
Did you feel like that was directed at you?
Yes.
Why?
Okay, obviously it was directed at me.
Match is over. He goes to the back. What happens?
I went to Tony and I was just like...
Which Tony, by the way?
Con.
Okay.
And I was like, please handle that. Like, please. And he was like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I'm not telling you what to do. Just be the boss, please. Like, I'm tired of this shit. You know, like I told you this was a mistake. And I told you separate shows wasn't going to work. And now we're all here. And, you know, like, please handle it. Because if you don't, you're not going to like the way I handle it.
Did he handle it?
No. No.
So you did?
Yes.
What happened?
Jack came back from his match, and I walk up to him, and I'm just like, Jack, why do you insist on doing this dumb internet shit, like, on TV, you know? And he's just like, well, if you got a problem about it, do something about it. And I was just like, man, come on, man. You know, I'll fucking kill you. Like, what are we doing, you know? And it just, you know... It's like Chael says, sometimes you just can't let you get close, you know? I thought I was doing a responsible thing, you know? I didn't punch anybody. I just choked somebody a little bit. Samoa Joe was there, told me to stop, and then I quit. I turned to Tony and I said, this place is a fucking joke, man. You're a clown, I quit.
So lots to unpack there. The first thing I want to draw attention to is that Punk says he didn't do anything to Tony at all. Tony was scared for his life for some reason. Punk's saying he never did anything to Tony at all to make him scared for his life. You know, you could debate that whether you like to or not. Tony's not giving us any kind of straight answer. So it's not like, you know, he's going on and saying exactly what happened at all. He's just saying he's scared for his life. And then fired CM Punk for cause from both contracts. CM Punk did admit to having two contracts in this. You know, we kind of questioned. I talked about on the show before that I thought maybe he was like a secret EVP, like a EVP without the title, kind of like Chris Jericho is. And it seems like that was the case. He didn't even have a phrase for it. He did admit to having a second contract. He said basically as like Tony's advisor or something. So probably the same shit Jericho has, where he's like an EVP without the title, essentially. But he kept running into people who had a problem with him there. It was the Elite. He said it flat out. We'll get to that clip here in a minute. Punk seemed to really enjoy his time in AEW otherwise, but he had quite a bit to say. Once Ariel was able to kind of open that can of worms and get Punk talking, old Punk kept talking. He talked about the Hangman. He did talk briefly about the Elite. He even talked about Colt Cabana. He addressed it all, as much as he could anyway. Check out this clip.
Will you ever be able to talk about this?
I don't know.
Is there a...
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never had to sign one.
Why does anybody want to talk about
it? Well, just for the record, you know, just to know.
It's grown into this ridiculous thing, you know? Like, again, just go ahead and believe what you want.
Can I ask about why is there an NDA? Like, so something happened, things happen. People have talked about them. Worse things have happened in pro wrestling and in life. Why is there an NDA for this particular one?
You would have to ask the person that wanted me to sign an NDA.
Would that be Tony?
Yeah.
In your mind, when that was done, did you think that perhaps you were done with the company?
Yeah. Tony's big idea was separate show. We're going to separate everybody. And I said, that'll never work. Just let me go. Just get me out of here. Just pay me my money. I've already been off TV. I hurt this arm. Just get me out of here. You know, no, can't let you go. Why? Just let me go. Who cares? It's best. I mean, these guys don't want me here. This isn't a real business. This isn't a business predicated on making money, drawing money, selling tickets, you know, doing business. It's not what it was sold to me as. So let me go. No, I can't let you go. I'm going to do this new show. You're going to have blah, blah, blah. Even though I thought the separate show and separating everybody without, you know, getting everybody in a room and squashing it was not going to work. You know, part of me was just like, well, if I can get a crew of people on television and maybe do some fun shows, like that sounded fun to me, you know, like, okay. You know, preferably, I would like to be out of here, and then I think everybody's happy. They obviously didn't want me there.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, 100%.
When you say they, do you mean like certain, like the Elite, those guys?
Yeah.
I can't imagine Tony didn't want you there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Tony probably still wishes I was there.
Right.
You know?
Do you mean like certain guys in the back?
Yeah.
But that's like four or five guys.
Right.
Did you feel like they never wanted you there from the jump?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, what made you feel that way?
Just interactions, just the way, you know, like, just the way things are handled, like, you know.
Do you think the hatchet could ever be buried with Colt Cabana?
Probably not.
Has it ever been attempted on his side or your side?
No, he came up to me one time at a show and was like, I was at the curtain watching the show, and he came up to me and he was like,
is this post-scrum or pre-scrum?
No, it was pre.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, can we talk so it's not weird between us? And I just said, I won't ever talk to you without a lawyer present. Yeah. I mean, it caused all this dumb shit.
Right.
You know, for no reason. You know, oh, I got the guy fired. He hasn't been on TV since whenever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I applaud, and I said this to Hangman. I was like, man, I get taking up for your friends. I get it. That's commendable. I do that all the time. Right or wrong, I'll stand up for my fucking friends. But you fucking go on national television and jeopardize a $1 million house that you ain't never drawn before, you know? Now you're disrespecting me and you're disrespecting the business. This is my house. I drew that, not you, you know? And that's egos is what it is.
What if you saw Tony? What do you think of that?
Hey, Tony, how's things?
It was never going to work. It was doomed to fail right from the very beginning. And this kind of confirms everything that I, at least, I've come to learn, to believe from the whole CM Punk, AEW debacle, the whole Fallout thing. Because when it first happened, when the Brawlout first happened, and Punk talked all that shit while he's eating his muffins on the press conference thing, which he called Punk said was a top three CM Punk promo. So clearly he's not ashamed of his performance there. Ariel asked him, you know, did you know you were going to say all that or whatever? And he's just like, not really. But once I got in there and saw all these fake journalists and shit that are all friends with everybody I'm dealing with backstage, it just triggered him. And he just went off. Top three CM Punk promo all time, he says. That's funny. That's funny, but it was never going to work because, first of all, he said they had a completely different idea of what things should be. He laid it out. He laid out exactly what we're looking at right now. He said that they are in the business of putting on the best wrestling matches, not being a business. And look, God bless them, man. The world needs great wrestling matches. I love a good five-star classic, just like the next guy. But that's not something that you want to build your company around. And I don't know if it was that difference of opinion right from the start where the Elite started, like, because there was this clear, maybe it was the Colt Cabana thing right from the beginning because the Elite were such good friends with Colt. And, you know, so when Punk came in, there was already preconceived heat going into it. And then maybe because Colt was not being used or was going to be fired at, because that was going to happen, there was an assumption made because Punk had some political clout there with the two contracts and everything. Maybe it was a miscommunication. It seems pretty immature and stupid that they couldn't get together and talk it out and come to terms with each other. Even more stupid that after it came to blows that they couldn't work it out. That, you know, Punk made reference again. Like, how many times have we seen in wrestling people get into actual fights, the internet or whoever hears about it, and they're able to take that and use it in a storyline and bend reality, right? That's what AEW would have been printing money if they would have moved into when Punk came back instead of separating him, putting him on Collision, which Punk said that was his show. He was given that show. That was Tony's, his exact words, Tony's big idea, right? Tony's big idea. Instead of working shit out and being able to work together and fucking print money, they would have been printing money. Can you imagine if CM Punk came out and like interrupted a Kenny Omega promo or a Young Bucks promo or the Young but vice versa came out and interrupted Punk made a big return and the Elite came out to interrupt or attack him or anything they would have been, it would have been the hottest angle in wrestling at the time. It would have gave the Bloodline a run for its money at the time. But the Young Bucks, Celia, wouldn't even talk to Punk. They wouldn't even talk. They wouldn't even entertain it. So Punk just wanted to quit. Just let me go. I'm hurt already. I've been off of TV. Let's just part ways and call it a day. Nobody wants, these guys at least don't want me here. And Tony wasn't a boss. Tony didn't fight for it. Tony didn't tell anybody this is how it's going to be because it's my company, goddamn it. He didn't say, you, and you, let's go. I'll go sit down and have a fucking talk right now. It was all, what do you want me to do? Tony, I'm not going to tell you how to do your fucking job. Just handle it. Fix it. I can see how that would be incredibly frustrating. He wants to be everybody's friend. And even now, like Ariel asked, what would it be like if you saw Tony? Punk would be like, oh, hey, Tony, what's up? How you been? Like, no ill will, it sounds like, on his end towards Tony Khan. He said he's a nice guy. He's not a boss, which is what everybody's been saying about him. And you got to be a boss. And that's the exact situation where you got to be a fucking boss about it. Put Vince McMahon in that situation. God damn it. work it out or get the fuck out of here. And then he shit on some girl's face. No, you can't. You don't. Forget I said that. Speaking of Vince McMahon, CM Punk did not hold back about Vince McMahon either. He was asked about Vince McMahon, and in true CM Punk fashion, he made news out of it, didn't he? As he compared, he didn't just say, oh, that sucks, and, you know, it's really sad, but, you know, we don't know what the blah, 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 right? He kind of went into a little monologue about it and compared Vince to Chris Benoit. Check out this clip.
Did you know, you know, let's be honest. Vince McMahon wasn't an angel. Everyone knew that he wasn't an angel. But this is like next level. This is evil, right? Like this is next level stuff. Yeah. If what is being alleged is true, right?
Right.
Did you have any idea that this type of behavior was going on behind scenes?
No. And again, the biggest thing I can draw a comparison to is when Chris Benoit did a murder-suicide, right? I was friends with Chris Benoit. So, like, coming to terms with, that's my friend, he did this horrible thing. Obviously, fuck him, fuck that. But then, you know, like, I don't have memories of Chris Benoit traveling with me and, you know, murdering people at the gym.
Right.
So there was never any instances where I'd, you know, be in a room with Vince and he's shitting on somebody or sexually assaulting somebody. You know, it wasn't like Caligula in Rome. We just didn't see it, you know? But there's that part of me that goes, just like Benoit, okay. I can see that.
I've been to the gym with Chris Benoit, and I don't remember seeing him murdering people. I've been in meetings with Vince McMahon, and I don't remember seeing him shitting on anybody's face. There's only one CM Punk, you know? Only Punk. Punk's got away with words, doesn't he? He talked about that, too, you know, that fantastic promo he did on Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre, where they were completely just given a live mic and said, go have fun. And he talks about that's the magic of CM Punk, is being able to tiptoe up to that line. You know, his comment about Vince McMahon, what paragon of virtue anointed you as the chosen one. Yeah. Walks right up to that line, but he knows where that line is, and he likes to blur it and tease it, but never go over it. And I appreciate that about Punk. It's what I've always liked about Punk. And look, I was going to say earlier, you know, it was after that press conference where that media scrum, the brawl out situation, where I loved AEW up to that point. I had been to AEW a couple times, caught them live, and like, I just, WWE had sucked, and AEW came along at a time where it hit the spot, right, for us wrestling fans. We were ready for an alternative. We were ready for something new on a big level, and we needed it because Vince's product was so dry, so stale, dying a slow, painful death, right? And then they were able to bring back CM Punk. They were just firing on all cylinders. It seemed like they couldn't do any wrong when they brought in Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson. It was like, wow, these guys are fucking, they're on it right now. And then Brawl Out happened. And I go, oh man, Punk, like, why would you do something to hurt this company like this? But now, as time has gone on, and it has taken time to see it fully, but I think it's pretty clear at this point that to the Elite, it's all friends wrestling. It's there to have fun, to play wrestling, to put on 5-star matches for Dave Meltzer. And they don't really care about the bigger picture on anything. They weren't buddies with Punk. There was perceived beef with Colt Cabana and some, you know, perceived doing wrong, doing them dirty. And they went out for the attack. Hangman, Punk didn't hold back about Hangman at all in this interview. You know, to just go out there on the fly. And we hear these things like, oh, you know, Punk said, I can't trust you now and everything like that. But Punk's like, yeah, you know, if we're going back there and we're saying, okay, let's talk about this, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then you just go out there and throw it all out the window and go into business for yourself. How do I know when we do that for a match? That's what you're going to do. I mean, I get it. And, you know, look, there's two sides to everything, too. Punk, I'm sure, he's a prickly, grumpy old man at times, stubborn, and quite a big ego himself, too. You know, I'm sure he went in there, so he said it in this interview. You didn't draw that house out there. This is my house. I drew this house. So he's going out there with that mentality that I am this company's top star. I'm the one drawing this house. I'm the one drawing the money. I'm the one bringing in the first $1 million gate to this company. And you're fucking it up because of what? And when Punk would be interested and open to working with them or talking it out or whatever the fuck, it just kept going. And then even when they tried to separate him and put him on his own show and just keep everybody apart, you even got fucking Jack Perry. And what was said, too, because, well, Jack Perry was on Collision, too. So it's he wasn't kept completely separate. But we all said, you know, this isn't going to work anyway, because once they get to the pay-per-views, they're all going to be in the same building together. Which they were, and that's where the fight happened with Jack Perry, because Perry's friends with the Elite as well. So there were very select, powerful people, powerful forces, influential people and forces in the locker room that didn't want Punk there for whatever perceived reason. Maybe they thought they were doing good. Maybe they thought he was a cancer. Maybe they thought he was, you know, did Colt Cabana dirty and he's going to do the rest of us dirty and blah, 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 blah. But none of them were thinking about AEW, because one thing Punk was doing was filling up all those seats. You know what Mercedes Moné is not doing? Filling up those seats. You know what Will Ospreay, God bless him, I fucking love me some Will Ospreay. You know, when you want to talk about a wrestling company that puts on the best wrestling matches, Will Ospreay is one of my favorite wrestlers to watch. Period. But, not so much AEW anymore, you know? Over time, it's become more apparent. The problems persisted after Punk left. More locker room bullshit. More mismanagement from Tony Khan. Tony Khan's not a boss. He's not there to run a company. He's there to play wrestler. He's there to have a fig fed and smash his wrestling toys together and shit. I don't know. It's not to be an AEW bash session here, but it's here to talk about Punk. But Punk certainly, and he made it clear too. So let's make it clear here. He wanted it to be known. He specifically said there's going to be people out there that cover this on the internet, you know, say that it was all bad things and stuff. He wanted to reiterate. He has no regrets about his time in AEW. He has fond memories there. He made a lot of friends there. And it got him back into the wrestling business. And, you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything works out the way that it's supposed to work out. It is just sad that it had to play out that way, because there really was something there, right? Punk, the anti-WWE guy, the anti-establishment guy, AEW, the new rebel faction that was challenging WWE, the anti-WWE brand. The anti-WWE guy and the anti-WWE brand joining forces together, pulling him out of retirement. Man, there was some beauty there, but it just wasn't meant to be. This goddamn interview may go down as one of CM Punk's best interviews I've ever heard. Clearly, the interview with Colt Cabana will still always be, you know, the top Punk, as far as spilling the dirt and being open and honest. And this wasn't even like a, this wasn't as much of a therapy session as that was with Colt Cabana, but it's more of like Punk said this too, that he didn't want to be that guy, aka Tony Khan, that goes into the interview. It's not like he brought all this shit up and wanted to vent about it, right? Ariel asked this shit because us as fans, this is the kind of shit that we want to know, the shit that we want to hear about. We haven't heard about any of this from Punk's side. We've barely heard about any of it from Tony Khan or AEW's side. So we want to know. We're curious. And he said he doesn't want to be that guy. As much as he doesn't want to sit here and talk about all this shit and rehash it, he doesn't want to be that guy that just says, you know, thank you for your question, but fuck off. I can't. I'm not going to answer it. Not going to answer it. Not going to answer it. That gets old after a while. You ask me a question. If I'm able to answer it legally, I'll answer it for you. In Ariel, and that's where I said earlier too, you got Ariel's a guy. You have to have the trust in your interviewer to be able to go there too, because if Ariel was a gotcha interviewer or just out to get the clickbait headlines and stuff, he could have did some, you know, he could have spun it, or he could have provoked Punk, or he could have went any number of ways with that conversation, but he's professional enough where you trust that he's going to take care of you when he asks you that question, that he's asking with journalistic integrity in mind. So fantastic interview. I can't suck its dick enough. I'll fucking juggle its balls and everything. I'll swallow all of it. It was that good. It was that good. I highly recommend you just watch the whole entire thing if you didn't already pause me to go watch it. Anything that I'm talking about here, reacting to, recapping, can't possibly do justice, but what a fun interview to listen to. What a fun interview to talk about. I was excited to hop on the mic here and just kind of share my thoughts on it. There's so much there that I feel like I'm just glancing over things or overlooking something, or it, you know, there's just so many great nuggets in here. Just go out of your way, especially if you're a CM Punk fan or a CM Punk hater too, especially if you're a CM Punk hater because you're an AEW super fan. I think it's worth hearing his side of the story and getting, you know, a second take on it, because you might have a completely different perception. But he also said, for those who just want to believe that he's a tyrant, that he's backstage beating the fuck out of everybody and just this big mean asshole, that good. Good for you if that's how you feel. That's, you know, obviously allowing him to be over there in WWE and make money off of it and work with Drew McIntyre and build off that kind of stuff, as, you know, in their storylines. So yeah, Punk's at the end of the day can take it to the bank with him. So great shit. I'm glad he's in WWE now. I'm glad he's happy there. And there was another fantastic point. I'll end on this and then I'll wrap it up. But another fantastic point about going back to WWE that I didn't touch on in the original, that really like struck a nerve with me, was that he said, I don't know if he said who did it or who told him or not, but somebody had told him that they're happy he's there so that he could get to see the change that he helped create. And he said that stuck with him too. And I don't know if that's just, you know, the story he tells himself to be pro WWE again. But you also hear all these things about how safe WWE is now, how good their medical is, how well they take care of their talent, how there's this, there's that, there's less dates that they're doing, there's more, just everything in general seems like it's a better culture in WWE than it was 10 years ago when Punk was there last. And a lot of that does have to do with Punk. You know, him quitting WWE was a protest. And yes, in the greater scheme of things, the problems continued, but it was the start of looking at things a different way and doing better. And, you know, Punk is there able to see that now and experience that and be a part of that now and contribute to it as well. So I think, look, here's the deal. As long as people are cool with Punk, I think he's going to be just fine. I think if people tried childish bullshit with him, just to pick a fight with him, then I think he'll be happy to fucking oblige And I think that seems to be the story of Punk here. But I'd love to know your takes. What did you think of the interview? What are your thoughts that may be similar or different to mine on some of the topics that we covered here today? Obviously, the AEW was the big one, but even just him jumping to the WWE, back to the WWE to begin with, and his thoughts on Vince McMahon. My God, I'll bet you he was holding in some of that shit. He could not wait. Like, you don't have to ask Punk twice to dish on Vince McMahon, I'm sure. I'm sure he never liked the guy to begin with. He's glad he's gone, and now he can freely be like, yeah, fuck that guy. So that's fun, too. Let me know your thoughts about everything, and where are you at now with this? Where were you before this? Did he help sway your mind? Are you Team Elite still? Were you ever Team Elite? Now you're Team Punk? Do you not give a shit? Fuck them all. I don't care. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below, whatever you want to talk about. I'm here for it. Peace, love, and pizza. I'm your boy, Seth Grimes, and I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next.
Oh yeah, thanks for checking out the video here. Don't forget to subscribe, don't forget to like it if you liked it here. And you can check out full episodes each and every Sunday right here on the channel. Oh yeah, dig it!